Hi, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. The Holy Gospel for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but every one, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The gospel reading today requires us, at least to begin with, to focus on the words that Jesus opens with. He says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." In order to understand everything else that Jesus says after that, we need to come to a full recognition and understanding of what it means for God to be merciful to us. And so consider our state. Consider the state of mankind after the fall. Through the sin of Adam and Eve, all of us have inherited their sin. All of the sin that we have all inherited, even from the moment of our conception, deserves the wrath of God. God is just, and his justice demands that there must be consequences for our sins. It is not like it can just be erased, or as if it can just be undone. God cannot just imagine, pretend, that we're actually innocent when we are in fact guilty. He cannot ignore evil, because evil has consequences. Justice must be met out, and so we deserve the full wrath of God because of our sins. This is what we Christians confess at the beginning of the divine service. We confess, "I am a poor, miserable sinner." Martin Luther famously says that he is but a sack of worms, right? He's nothing but a pile of dirt. That is what he is worth on account of what he has done through his sin. We must come to terms with that. We must recognize that we deserve the wrath of God because of what we have done. If we don't come to terms with that, then we cannot understand God's mercy. And so the wrath of God was not met out upon us. I do not have to atone for myself by my own sufferings. Instead, the wrath of God was poured out upon God Himself, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Christ. God in His mercy has looked upon us in our pitiable state, and He suffered all the wrath for us. What we deserve, what we justly deserve, God took for us. Think for a moment of all of the suffering that our Lord Jesus endured, even from the beginning of His earthly life unto the end where He was crucified. Consider the anguish and the sorrow. Consider the temptations He had to face as He was tempted by the Satan in the wilderness. Consider the blood He shed throughout life, the pains of body and of mind. Consider the fact that it says He was flogged. His flesh was torn from His bones. He was beaten senseless. And yet, fully conscious of what He was enduring, despising the cross and its shame, He was nailed to that cross, and all the sins of all the world were placed upon Him as though He were the whole burnt offering, and He suffered God's wrath in your stead. So that you, dear Christian, so that you may be freed from the wrath of God, so that you may be freed from your sins which deserve punishment, God willingly, in love, mercifully, bore for you. Indeed, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. It is an incredible command. Who could ever be as merciful as God is? No one. And so the following instructions that Jesus gives to us, therefore, have quite a bit more meaning. I know we often in our culture, we focus especially on verse 37, where Jesus says, "Judge not and you will not be condemned," or "you not be judged, condemn not and you will not be condemned." Right? We focus especially on those, and maybe we only focus particularly on the first two words, "judge not." Right? We just kind of conclude the teaching with that, and we say, well, Jesus says, "judge not, therefore don't judge people." We make the assumption, we make the logical leap then, that that must mean we should not discern between right and wrong, that we should not discern whether or not someone's life conforms to the Word of God or not. We shouldn't actually observe whether or not somebody is a Christian or not a Christian. We shouldn't determine whether somebody is behaving rightly or wrongly. Now, that's not so much what Jesus is talking about there with the "judge not." It helps understand this. The second paragraph that I read where He told this parable about a blind man leading a blind man. Obviously, if a blind man leads a blind man, both fall into a pit. But you notice, the blind man has an issue, and the blind man needs help, right? A blind man who cannot see, who does not know where he is going, is liable to fall into a pit and be seriously injured or even die. And therefore, the loving thing is to recognize that the blind man has this particular ailment and needs a particular kind of help. Namely, that the blind man needs someone who is seeing to guide him in order that he doesn't fall into a pit. It doesn't do any good for the blind man to be led by another blind man, because then they just both fall into a pit. Likewise, Jesus uses another example. He talks about a speck that is in your eye. I'm sure you've probably had things in your eyes, specks in your eyes, and it can hurt quite a bit, right? It's very uncomfortable to have something in your eye. And frequently, if it's a big enough spec, it's hard to get that spec out yourself. You blink and you blink and you blink and you can't get it out. And now your eyes are watering, you can't see. You need somebody else to help you get that spec out. And the most loving thing another person could do is to take the spec out of your eye. You have a problem and you need help. You need somebody who is able to recognize that spec and delicately take it out of your eye. And so Jesus, in this parable, recognizes that it would be a problem if a man who has a log in his eye is trying to take the speck out of another eye. That log is going to prevent him from seeing properly in order to take out the speck. Right? The log is kind of ridiculous. Right. If you have a log in your eye, I think you've got more than just a little issue. Right. And so the solution is not that you don't help your brother who is blind or who has a speck in his eye. The solution is that you need to be seen first, that you need to have the log taken out of your eye first. Before you can begin to help your brother who has fallen into sin, you first need to be forgiven of your sins. In order for you to show mercy to others, you need to have mercy shown to you. Specifically, you need to have God's forgiveness of your actual specific sins forgiven you. Before you confront another about their sins, be sure that you have first received that forgiveness for yourself. Understand what it is that you need so that you are better able to help your brother who is in need. Because that's the goal of this. The goal of this is not that you leave your brother with the speck in his eye. The goal is that you are forgiven your sins and your brother can be forgiven his sins too. The goal is that you would be merciful to your brother, that you would look upon your fellow Christian who has fallen into some sin, and that you would have compassion upon them, that you wouldn't ignore them, that you wouldn't just let them live in their sin and so be eternally damned by God because they don't receive the forgiveness of their sins, they don't receive the blood of Jesus Christ. The loving thing for you to do is to gently, compassionately, mercifully bring them to the realization of their own sins. Help them to realize that they have the speck in the eye, that they are sinning in some particular way, and that you are able to recognize it, and that in your love for them, you desire them to be forgiven. So that in time, that other person, that your brother or sister in Christ may repent of his or her sin and therefore also be seen, therefore also not have a log or a speck in his or her eye. The goal is that we would point one another to Jesus Christ, that we would show one another the mercy that God has given to us through his sacrifice upon the cross. And what a privilege it is. God has been merciful to us. And now we have been called to be merciful to one another, forgiving each other as God forgives us in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this devotion of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. God bless you.